Welcome to Wrestling on the Road, the podcast brought to you live around venues from around the UK and Europe. Believe it or not, yes, I do travel. This week for episode 50, we have the king, the Bollywood king, RJ Singh on the podcast. But before we move on to the chat I had with him on Saturday, just a quick update of what I've been doing over the past week. Friday night, I was at Hope Wrestling for their anniversary weekender, where it was myself and the Big Man Blake and LJ Heron versus Jason Prime and Filthy Gorgeous. Again, racking up another victory. That must put me with the best win-loss record at Hope. I don't care what anyone says. It's the best win-loss. What are you laughing at? My wife's listening in. And every time I keep talking, she keeps smirking and giggling. It's really fucking off-putting. And she's being rude by just being on the phone. You know what I mean? Why are you on your phone?
It's a story.
It's what?
It's a story.
It's a story. So she's not even listening to me. See, when Austin does his podcast, his wife's got something really intelligent to say. Whereas in my wife is just reading Facebook. Is it Facebook?
No, it's from work.
Oh, it's from work. Oh, okay. Can I finish? Can I get on with it? No, it's all right. Don't worry about it. So as I was saying, with Hope Wrestling for the weekender, and then on the same night, I actually cashed in my most wanted briefcase, which I can't find for the life of me. I don't even know if I brought it home. But anyway, I cashed in on Chris Tyler. Bit of a turn for him and the Big Dog Reigns, and me and Blake took our stands, and I captured the Kings of Flights title. Now, for those who don't know what that is, it's a cruiserweight title, okay, for cruiserweights under 195 pounds. Now, Jigsaw, okay, the international superstar Jigsaw, was the current Kings of Flights champion. Now, I'll get to Jigsaw at some point in the next few weeks because he actually super kicked me in the face, which I didn't really appreciate. But mate, I've got your number. So I cashed in on Chris Tyler, won the Kings of Flights title. And unfortunately for me, I held it for about 24 hours. And that's because the following night, Harvey Dale decided to put a stipulation where it was myself versus Chris Tyler. Then he changed it into a tornado tag, pitching me and Blake against Chris Tyler and his dad, Reigns. Then said it was a no DQ. And then said, if either one of those guys gets a pinfall on me or Blake, they would win the title. And after a 450 splash, after a back and forth match, Chris Tyler actually pinned me to the mat, 1-2-3, to record my fourth ever loss at Hope Wrestling. Fourth in 17 months. That shows my win-loss record. Now, I'd like to actually find out what I've done or who I've beaten. Because I can't really remember that much. Reigns hit me that hard with chairs and trays and God knows everything else. So that was my weekend. This weekend coming up, which when you are listening to it as it goes out, hopefully today really, which is the 25th, I'm actually I return to DOA on the Saturday, and it's a Top Contenders Triple Threat Tag Team match, which I think is going to be a great little match. It's myself, my tag partner Darko, can't even read, versus BG and Peace versus the Rookers. Now, the Rookers look like a pair of rugby guys. I myself was a rugby guy, so hopefully a couple of big boys in there. And then prior to that, on Friday night, it's myself and Barricade at United Wrestling, where we reform XXL against a mystery team selected by Big Dan Sandrin. He's gone out there and picked a tag team to take us on in the XXL Open Challenge. So we'll have to see what happens there. As for me, I've just finished work. I'm tired. I'm going to go and chill out with my wife, providing she's not reading something on Facebook or from work or anything else. So without further ado, here's my one-to-one chat with the Bollywood King, RJ Singh. Enjoy. Good morning. morning, good afternoon, good evening, good night. This is Wrestling on the Road, the podcast brought to you live. With me today is a real king, as opposed to myself, who is currently, whilst you're listening to this, it might not happen tomorrow, but it's currently the Kings of Flight champion. So from one king to another, RJ Singh.
How you doing? I'm all right. I'm good. Yeah, good to be here. Thank you.
First time at Hope.
Yeah, this is my, tonight's my Hope debut, which has been a while coming, actually. I think it's one of those things with quite a few companies in British wrestling where I just haven't managed to find the right dates, find the right time to be able to come in. And then an opportunity came up a couple of months ago where Hope contacted me. And so I was like, let's do it. So yeah, I'm here today, ready to make my debut against Ryan Smile. So looking forward to it.
Have you seen much of Ryan?
Yeah, I mean, me and Ryan have we've met in the ring once before in a tag match when him and I, him and Damien Dunn had so many different names. I'm trying to remember the name they had at the time. I think they were Q2 or something like that. Against myself and Daryl Allen when we were the Bangor Knights. We met in Full House Wrestling in Peterborough.
Yeah.
We did a match there in a tag match. So, so this will be kind of the second time we're meeting, but it's the first time.
First
time singles for us. So.
That's cool. So who was victorious in that tag match?
It was us actually. Yeah, I think it was us in that match. So I'm sure he's looking to get one back tonight. So it'll be it's going to be a really interesting one. I think like we've got quite a good mix of styles. Like, I'm trying to think. Like, I'm more my sort of high flying style has come back a little bit more than the sort of things I used to do when I first started. Label myself, I was much more of a high flyer when I first started, and then I kind of eased back quite a lot in the last couple of years, being that I'm not exactly a spring chicken anymore. If you will.
I'm not neither. So, no. I'm in the same boat as you.
Yeah. So, but you know, as of late, been trying to add a few new things to the arsenal, as it were, and do some things that I haven't done for a long time.
Yeah, because you took a bit of time out, didn't you?
I did. Yeah.
Was that just were you just?
It was kind of, I think at the end of 2013, I knew I wanted to have a break, and I thought I would run through 2014 and see how things, see where things would take me and stuff like that. So I had a lot of things come up in my personal life as well, and it seemed like a good time for a natural break. And I think, I'm pretty sure though, I was looking back at I love that Facebook button, the on this day thing. I was using that and I was looking back, and I think when I look back at what I originally said back in 2013 was it was going to be a break.
Yeah.
And as these things tend to do, I think it sort of became a bit more of a retirement, and I'm not sure, kind of the word retirement got tagged to it. So, but I think by the time I bowed away in, I think it was November 2014, it was pretty much a retirement.
Because this was you versus Styx.
It was, yeah, we had a match in progress, yeah. It was
basically the loser had to unquote, retire.
Absolutely, it was career, we did it as a career versus career match, and which I lost, so it was kind of that was it.
That was it.
And I kind of intended it as that as well. I did kind of at the time think that's it. I'm done. It's a good time to step away. It seemed good. I had some stuff going on in my personal life, which kind of meant that it was a good time to stop wrestling.
Yeah.
And so over 2015, I started off the year kind of well away from wrestling. First couple of months, I didn't really have much involvement in wrestling at all for any reason. And kind of the personal reasons that sort of helped me leave wrestling, that those sort of things didn't pan out as I expected them to. I then started hooking up with 4FW, Anne Swindon, who do great stuff. And they messaged me and said, would you like to come on board as a manager for one of their guys, Tiger Ali, who was their champion, who was their former champion at the time. And they wanted to put him back in the title picture. So they were like, we'd like to get you involved.
Was it the fact that he needed a mouthpiece?
Yeah. I mean, Tiger's a phenomenal wrestler, really good wrestler. He's done a lot of work extensively in Mexico recently.
Cool.
He's done talent exchange. He's worked a lot with Ultima Dragon, out in Mexico as well. Phenomenal wrestler, but by his own admission, he's not a great talker.
Yeah.
So they wanted to give him someone as a bit of a mouthpiece. So I started running a couple of shows with him, doing manager gig for him. And then the 4FW later added Rishi Ghosh, another guy I know really well. He joined as well, and we kind of started up this gimmick called the Three Kings.
Yeah.
And I've been in a non-wrestling role with them until earlier this month. where me and Rishi actually captured the 4FW tag titles from the Hunter Brothers at their last show in Swindon. So that was, you know, that which was a great moment. So that kind of is what kind of sort of kept my foot in the door of wrestling, doing the 4FW shows.
Yeah, yeah.
And then I think round about this time last year, it was certainly around July, so like Progress messaged me, and they floated the idea of wanting to do live commentary.
Yeah.
Previously, they'd just done post recording of all their commentary, and they wanted to move to a live team. And they asked me if I was interested. So I think the first thing I did for them, I did a couple of sort of promos for them. I think it was the 2015 Super Strong Style 16 tournament.
Yeah.
I did a couple of preview videos with Glenn Joseph, and we just previewed the matches and things like that. And then I think it was we did some post-recording a couple of the Progress Endeavour shows.
Yeah.
And then it was, I believe, Thunder Bastard. great name for a show. It was their Thunder Bastard show last year was the first one that we then recorded live, and that was the first time we did, and we were sort of set up on stage and we hooked up all the audio stuff, so and we recorded it live there. So, and then I kind of, that kind of then steamrolled, and I carried on, and ever since I've been pardon me, I've been doing live commentary for Progress ever since. So, which was which has been really good fun. Being able to witness some really good matches. You know, I was calling the match where Will Ospreay won the title against Jimmy Havoc, which was just a absolutely phenomenal match. Although, even though, little known fact, the audio actually the audio went down on that one, and we actually had to re-record it as well, which was having yelled my lungs out. On the Sunday, I think by the sort of the Friday, we got back together and we re-recorded. Had to re-record that show.
Once you got your voice back.
Yeah, but since then it's gone really smoothly.
Yeah.
They've messed around with the sound system a couple of times to kind of get it just right, and I think they've nailed it now.
Yeah. So am I right in thinking you started at Hammerlock back in the olden days?
I didn't start at Hammerlock. No? I started at FWA. It was FWA was where I started, and back in back in the year 2000, 2000. Gosh, it's going back 16 years there. In the year 2000, I was a student teacher. Was it 2000, 2001? No, it was 2000. Yeah, I was a student teacher. I was at university. I'd just finished my teaching practice, and wrestling came to my hometown of Hartford, where I live.
Right.
And I was like, I've never been to a live. At this point, I mean, I was about 18, I think, but I'd never been to a live wrestling show ever. Despite being a massive fan, but British wrestling was so quiet at that time. It's been so quiet
as opposed to now.
Exactly, compared to now, where it's like the noisiest
thing. Every old Tom and the Canary is a fucking wrestler.
Absolutely, do you know what I mean? And like British wrestling is so noisy at the moment. But it was really quiet, so I just happened to stumble across it, and I went to watch, and I was like, I was just taken away. I mean, it didn't draw very well. It wasn't a very good house. Like, I reckon there was about 20 people in the audience, which is a shame because it was a Hartford Theatre, which was known as Hartford Castle back then, which is a really nice big venue, but it was a really poor turnout. But
do you remember what the card was like?
Or? No, I can't remember who the... I'm trying to think of the matches, but I do know it was people like Justin Richards, Doug Williams, Alex Shane, Johnny Storm, Jody Fleisch were kind of the main people on there. George Costanza was another one as well. And it was the first time I ever seen those guys as well. And obviously, I didn't really know... I didn't really know British wrestling even existed. And Mark Sloan was on that show as well. The New Breed, I met them there as well, Paul Travell. And after the show, I was talking to Mark Sloan, and I just happened to sort of, I was waiting around to just meet some of the wrestlers, and I was speaking to Mark Sloan, and I said, so how did you get into wrestling and stuff like that? And he said, oh, well, we've got a school down in Portsmouth that we do training there, we have a ring, so I was like, okay, cool. So I took his contact details. Nearly a year later, I think back in March of 2001, I contacted Mark, and he told me what he used to run at the time was these weekend academies.
Right, okay.
He'd have 3 days, come down, learn all the basics, et cetera, et cetera. So I contacted him, and I was like, oh, I really want to come down, I really want to take part, and all this sort of thing. And he was like, yeah, no problem. We've got one coming up in March, if you're interested in that. So I had a friend living in Portsmouth at the time, so I left, so I went down to Portsmouth for 3 days. And did this training camp with Mark, and it really was just like real basics of.
Do you remember who was kind of in that camp? Was anyone that?
Oh, God,
listeners would. probably know or have heard of.
I'm trying to think now. There's a guy, some people may remember, a guy called Max Voltage, who was one of the sort of standouts of Mark Kent at the time. Max has gone on to be an actor.
Okay.
As well, and he's been in a couple of I know he's been in a couple of E4 programs as well, and he does a live comedy show with his partner who I can't remember now, but it's gone down really, really well.
Cool.
He's doing really fantastic.
Yeah.
Andy Simmons was there. He wasn't actually Andy Simmons wasn't on the camp, but Andy Simmons was training there at the time.
Okay.
We met some of the marks of Mark's, like Raj Ghosh, who's Rishi yeah. Ghosh's older brother, and met a couple of other guys there as well. So I'm not sure if there's anyone else from that camp, that particular camp, who's still active today.
Yeah, yeah.
But that was, you know, that was a really great experience. I mean, I was absolutely shattered. By the time I finished it, I was, you know, my arms done. Were aching. I couldn't believe it, and I just finished my second teaching practice. So it was kind of a treat to myself to kind to do this. But I came back to London on the Monday, and I was absolutely just shattered. I was so tired. It was, you know, but it was a really great experience. And on the last day, I was kind of saying to Mark, you know, because I was living in Southgate in North London at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
And I said, I'd love to carry on doing this. I'd really love to, you know, carry on training, but, you know, I don't have a car. You know, I'm studying university in London. It's going to be a bit of a struggle
for me to
get down. So he said, oh, well, you know, you're in luck because Alex Shane is opening up a school in Finsbury Park. Which and that was great news for me because I was living in Southgate at the time.
Yeah, yeah.
So it was like, you know, 4 or 5 stops on the Piccadilly line. So. Yeah. He gave me Alex's contact details, and I rang Alex, and I was like, oh, hi, you know, I've given you contact with Mark Sloan. I saw you last year wrestling, you know. And he's like, yeah, yeah, you know, my school's opening up in April. And I was like, what days do you do? He's like, Saturdays and Sundays. I've got Saturdays for a kids' class and Sunday for an adult class. And I was like, oh, shit, because at the time I was working at my part-time job, like
right.
in Waitrose supermarket or whatever.
Decent.
Which is like double pay as well.
And yeah,
like,
Waitrose pay. I was going to say.
If anyone ever works for like John Lewis or Waitrose, they pay you really well.
But it's like Aldi.
Exactly, yeah.
If you're, what's it, till scanner,
yeah.
it's £11.50 an hour.
Absolutely, they pay really, really well. So I was like, I didn't really want to give up my my Sunday job. So I was like, okay. What can you do? And Alex said, well, what I can do is we do have, you know, we've got the kids class on the Saturday, so if you can't make Sundays, why don't you come down on the Saturday?
Yeah.
I'll ask some of the guys who do the Sunday classes to come down as well, so you've got
so
someone
you
to train with and
yeah.
you know, so. And I was like, okay, well, I'll bite the bullet and I'll do that. So so I went down and he brought a couple of his guys down, two of which were a guy who went on to become Sir Thomas Chamberlain, really good friend of mine, and the other one was Styx.
Yeah.
Who, as mentioned earlier, you know, one of my best friends now in wrestling.
Yes.
In life
as well.
And life, yeah.
Yeah.
We've been buddies ever since, so it's, it was like, that's where I first met them. And eventually, like, I sort of came into my last year of university, I was like, I just took out a bigger loan, and like, so I could quit my Sunday job, I took a much bigger loan.
Fund your wrestling.
So, absolutely, so I started going to the Sunday classes as well, and then... And then from that, I managed to, you know, I sort of kept at it, worked hard, and Alex was like, right, we're going to try. They were really, what the FWA, their model was, they had shows split between, like, Portsmouth and London.
Right.
And they always tried to have, like, a match for their trainees and for their students. So whenever it was down in Portsmouth, Mark Sloan would have his trainees on, and when it was in London, Alex would have his trainees on. So,
yeah.
And Alex was like, right, we're going to try get, you know, going to get ready for a debut. And I think he had, like, he originally envisioned a 6-man or something like that. And like, I think he changed at the last minute. He just wanted to do a singles instead. So he put me on with a guy called Hayde Vanson, who famously went on to sign with WWE and had like the one promo on SmackDown and then was released. It was really bizarre.
Hayde Vanson under WWE or?
He signed when when Hayde signed, they still had Florida.
FC,
yeah, they still had Florida
w,
Championship
yeah.
Wrestling as the developmental system. So he wrestled there, and then I think like the rumor has it that like. They were going to bring him up as like some sort of cult leader gimmick, and they were going to feud him with The Undertaker. They did this promo on SmackDown where, like, you know, it was like one of those intercepted broadcast videos, and it was it was him talking to the camera, and he was very he didn't like mention any names of any wrestlers or anything like that. He just kind of was hinting at stuff and things like that. So and then they aired it, and then that was it. And then like a week later, they'd released him, and it never went anywhere. It was such a bizarre thing.
That's
to
ridiculous.
Do. So, yeah, it was really weird. So
that is a bit.
But him and I debuted at the same time, kind of the main roster debut in FWA.
So how much training did you have? Because obviously nowadays, it pains me to say it. I mean, for me, I was taught by I was trained by Styx, and it took me a year and a half to get into just an 8-man tag.
Yeah.
Or a rumble spot or something like that. Nowadays, you can be in a quote-unquote academy and you can wrestle for 4 months, once a week. And yeah. Next minute, you're on shows.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I'm still the old school theory of you've got to train hard for to learn it properly instead of just going, I've got gear, I can get in the ring.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I think I debuted after about 7 months and, like, it wasn't a good match. I can happily put my hands up and say that, and, like, I was totally not ready for that match. And there's a lot I hadn't learned. You know, basically all I'd learned was, all that I knew to do was moves and sequences, and that's all it. You know, I didn't really know about selling. I didn't know about storytelling.
So, but I guess if someone comes up to you and goes, RJ, I'm going to put you on this show. Are you all right to do it? You're not going to go, no, mate.
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not ready yet. Yeah. But everyone admits, I'll freely admit, the first match I had was, I think it was Brillinton Spa.
Yeah.
And I was nowhere near ready. I remember.
I was like, I remember feeling a very similar thing in that, you know, at that point I was like, I'm sure I can, you know, I can cobble something together. I'm sure I can, like, you know, do this, you know, and it'll be okay. And then, you know, I did the match and it was like, you know, I thought, you know, it went quite well. But then I watched it back and it was like, it was all him just pummeling me like, the entire match. And he was the heel. He was the heel and I was the face, isn't it? And I didn't really know at the time about, like, it was, you know, it's the face's job to keep fighting and keep, you know, and keep...
Show that spirit.
Exactly, all that spirit. I didn't really know that. So it was just basically him kicking my ass for, like, 10 minutes and then, you know, looking really impressive.
So when someone goes here, let's see your fire, and you're like, what?
Yeah, exactly, that's it. Like, never a clue. And as a heel, at the time, you know, he hadn't really been taught that you don't do cool stuff as a heel. So he was, doing all this really flashy stuff.
But you get that these days on WWE.
Yeah.
So, someone like Bray Wyatt... He does something cool. Everyone's all over it.
Yeah, and I hate that. Like, I'm a real, like, I'm really grown at stuff like that. Like,
yeah,
heels doing cool stuff. I'm just like, no, you've missed
you
the point.
Yeah,
you've totally
killed
missed
it.
The point of, like, what
you're doing.
Exactly. Like, what of what your job is, you've gone so fucking in the wrong way. So I don't think I wrestled another match for quite some time. I mean, that was the end of 2001 in November, I think it was. And I probably didn't wrestle again until about June 2002, stuff like that. So,
really?
And probably quite rightly, because I wasn't very good.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think, you know, it's quite right. So it wasn't until sort of about that time that I then started picking up shows again at that point.
Yeah.
So.
And then obviously you started teaming with Daryl Allen later on. How did that kind of come about? Was that kind of like they said, who do you want to tag with? What was the kind of process going through with
that? I'm trying to remember now. I think it was I got contacted by IPW and I'd done a couple of training sessions for IPW. I'd just been asked, like, can you go and do like the odd training session here and here with a couple of guys? Yeah. And I met Daryl there. He was training there at the time with a couple of, like, just a small group of people. And there was Daryl and another guy called Kieran, and they were kind of the standout trainees, and the IPW wanted to put them on one of their shows. And I know Andy Simmons had previously been training them there as well, so they wanted to do one of their shows. They wanted to do, like, those two having a match, but they wanted them to have, like, respective trainers accompany them to the ring.
Right. So it's kind of like the old NXT there.
Yeah, almost like that kind of thing.
The pro in their corner.
They went with that kind of idea. So it was Andy was going to come out with Kieran and be his, like, his guy, and, like, I came out with Daryl and was like, and then they had the match. And I think we did, like, a hooky finish, and then they were going to do us in a tag match a bit later on. And I don't think the tag match happened, which was bizarre. I don't think the tag match happened. I think in the end it was me and Daryl versus Kieran and Charles Samuels, which I can't remember how that came, but I do remember doing that tag match. So that was kind of that match led to, like, the first time me and Daryl tagged up.
Yeah, yeah.
We weren't, like, the Bangor Knights, though. We were just kind of still, like, two guys, you know, and things like that. And then
so how long did it take to evolve into the Bangor Knights?
Well, from there, sort of in IPW and FWA, I kind of started doing I was just sort of just at the start of, like, doing the Bollywood character.
Yeah.
And, like,
because there was another guy as well, and I can't think of his name, but I remember meeting him at an old slam show.
Do you mean the guy, the manager with the megaphone, or the another?
No,
wrestler?
There was another wrestler.
Adam.
What was his gimmick?
So he wrestled as Adil Khan.
That's it.
That was it.
I was going to say Adil Khan, but I thought, if I say it wrong, going to feel like a right tit.
So he wrestled as Adil Khan. So together, collectively, like, as a stable, along with Tabs Tabraise, who's been, like, my
manager in various promotions. He does like the director thing.
Yeah.
We were, as a stable, we were kind of like the Bangor Knights. But it was actually those two who did the tagging. It was Daryl and Adil Adam who were doing the tagging, and I was just doing single stuff. So, and I gave them the name of the Bangor Knights, and so they were technically, by definition, the Bangor Knights. And then we're up in FWA. They were doing that, and in House of Pain, when House of Pain was still quite new, they were doing tag team. They were tag teaming there as well because they came up to Nottingham with me.
Yeah, because you guys were on my first ever show.
Oh, really?
So, yeah. So I remember it like just the entrance music and the way you guys project yourselves. I think that's the first time I've seen
that. That's it. We had like matching jackets as well. I think I had like a black track jacket and they had white track jackets and stuff. Yeah, it was really cool.
The Indian flag on.
Absolutely,
I remember it.
And that was the first time we all did stuff like that. And then Adam went off to university. He went to university in Coventry. So he didn't wrestle for a couple of years because he went to university and was training studies. And it was FPW, Future Pro Wrestling, who, funnily enough, I'm doing one of their shows tomorrow. They contacted me and Daryl, and they're like, "Oh, we'd like to get you guys for our show, and we'd like you to be kind of like the first tag team." And actually, me and Daryl hadn't properly, apart from that one match, we hadn't actually properly been a tag team before. So their debut show, which I think was either 2010 or 2011. I think it was 2010. At their debut show, we were the only tag match on, and it was me and Daryl versus Marty Skirl and Mark Haskins.
Decent.
It was really great. It was really, good match. Really enjoyed that.
And two good opponents as well.
That's it, yeah.
You can't get much better than Marty and Mark.
Absolutely.
So.
Really phenomenal opponents. So we had a great tag match, and that was kind of how we started, really. And then from there, we kind of were tagging more in FPW, and then a couple of other places, started seeing us as a team, and so like IPW and Southside and some of those places. So then we went to work for as a tag team for them.
Do you think there's a spot for a good tag team in the UK?
Oh, absolutely, yeah.
Like it's a bit of a niche at the moment because obviously at the time you had the Predators, you had Project Ego, you had all these big teams. And now you've got, we were talking about this the other day, me and Joe, and we were saying, you've got the Hooligans, you've got the London Riots, but, really?
Yeah, I think
you got Team Single up at Preston, but like if you think of like big tag teams, there's not many of them about.
Yeah, I think there's very few who are regular tag teams. I mean, you mentioned Team Single, but we see them more as everywhere else. T-Bone and Rampage are singles guys elsewhere.
Yeah.
The other team I mentioned them earlier was the Hunter Brothers are the kind of they're regular team. The London Riots are a regular team. The Hooligans are a regular team. Yeah. So, but really, there's not many regular teams. There's often obviously guys who join together, like even the Dunn Brothers were a regular team are now.
So scandalous, isn't it? So it's
absolutely.
It's more of a triple guy. It's more triple in it. It's Ryan, Damien, and Pete.
Yeah.
So.
So yeah, I think there's lots of room for
it's a bit more scope.
I'm such a big believer in like the tag teams like wearing the same tights. And,
yeah, I am.
Being a proper team or
having that kind
of tag team look about them and stuff like that. So I'm such a big mark for that kind of thing. So, and I do think there's lots of scope for some other people to come.
Do you think
we'll
see a return of the Bangor Knights at some point?
I think so. Yeah, I think at the moment Daz is doing a lot of he's teaming with one of his guys that he trained down in Progress because Daryl run he doesn't run but he's the head trainer of the Progress Wrestling School
the Projo yeah
down in London and he's currently tagging with his name's gone from the bank. He's going to kill me. Earl Black Jr., sorry. He's tagging with Earl Black Jr., who is kind of his protege, and they're the Dazzler team.
Okay.
And they've worked a couple of shows in Progress, and they've done some premiere shows as well. So I think Daz is doing that for now, which is cool. And, I've only just really recently returned.
Come back, yeah.
In February, I came back, so... I'm sure at some point, I imagine there'll be a point where the two of us hook up again as a tag team. So
what's it like being back on the scene?
It's crazy because I left in 2014, and then over 2015 and beginning of 2016, British wrestling just blew up ridiculously. Like suddenly and I always say to people I remember going through from 2007. To 2011, the whole scene was kind of depressing. It was people were going, "Oh, we're getting, how many people are you getting in?" "Oh, 200. And we were like, "Oh, that's good."
Yeah.
And it's not good. Like in like, no. If you look now, where people are rocking in thousands. Now we're starting to talk thousands.
Well, you look at like BCW rocks in what 3,500.
Absolutely.
You know, Southside's hitting four figures.
Yeah, absolutely. This is it. And you know, Rev Pro in London.
Yeah.
And stuff like that. And you know,
Progress at the ball.
Yeah, and they're going to be the Brixton Academy, isn't it?
The Brixton, sorry, yeah.
And to now be talking thousands is
great.
Fantastic. You know, so. My only fear is just trying to keep up with guys. There's so many new in that year and a half I was away. So many new guys have appeared on the scene, like
it's just
really young guys who are like, I was looking at like some of them are like nearly half my age, like
same.
They're all in really good nick as well. I think that's one of the things I've really noticed about is wrestlers coming up now are really making an effort on their image.
Yes.
much more so than I ever did. Really putting time in the gym.
I'm the same.
Like they're spending money on their gear, like to look, like to make themselves really presentable.
Yeah, yeah.
Really, you know,
you're gonna look the part.
So exactly. No, yeah, that's it. Like,
because no one's gonna look at a wrestling poster and go, "That guy's skinnier than me." I'm not gonna
watch
him.
Exactly.
Whereas if you've got someone like a Styx, like let's think of someone else. I was gonna reference Credo there, but he's more of a gimmick. The gimmick. But someone like a Joe Connors.
Yeah.
Someone who's evolved in that space of time.
Absolutely, yeah.
Looks apart, you know.
Yeah, and I think that's the big difference from when I started, because I think when I started around 2001, we were still sort of coming off the back of the ECW era. So
yeah.
there was a lot of guys like in ripped up jeans and
ripped t-shirts,
rock t-shirts, yeah, yeah. Stuff like that. And I look at the generation who are come through now, and it's a totally different way of looking and presenting themselves.
When you look at guys like Jack Starrs and Will Ospreay, they're nothing like the likes of in the Deal Khan.
Yeah,
do you know what I mean? Absolutely. No, that's no disrespect to Adam, but you look at their style, their physique.
Oh, yeah.
It's nothing like. And same as me. Mm. I'm an Adil Khan guy. Do you know what I mean? I'm his body shape. I don't need a six pack.
I'm a gimmick guy. That's what I've tried to. Tried to get away with for so long. Just being a gimmick guy.
So. That's it. So, as we kind of bring this to a close, what's next for RJ Singh this year? Have you got anything coming up?
I've got some new stuff. What's been really strange is that I haven't done much of the old promotions I worked for over time. Like one of the big things is like, and tonight is a good example. Like I've just started to come to a lot of new places this year.
Yeah. There's whole new crowds.
Yeah, like South Coast. I debuted in South Coast Wrestling a couple of months ago, which was a new one for me. I've had a chat with a couple of new companies as well who are quite new in places I've never been before. So, and I think that's kind of the exciting part now, actually coming back.
Yeah.
Because I remember I came back in February for FPW and I kind of made a surprise appearance at their show, and that was like a surprise Rumble return.
Yeah.
And then I kind of contacted a couple of the other places I worked for, and no one really had anything for me, and I was kind of like, I've made this comeback, and now like there's nothing. Like, what am I gonna do? And then like literally in the last couple of months, I've been really lucky. Like a lot of places have been like, oh, we hear you're back again now.
Yeah.
So like, are you free on this date? So it's been
that's good for you.
Yeah, it's been really good actually. Like, and I'm looking forward to like I say coming to these new places.
Yeah, cool one. So if you want to plug anything, if promoters want to get, obviously they know where you are, but if you want to plug it,
yeah, the main thing is my Twitter and my Instagram are the best places to get hold of me. Both of them are at Bollywood Singh. Where you can find me on Twitter, and obviously I post a lot of my stuff wrestling wise on there, so if anybody wants to get in contact, that's the best place.
Cool. RJ, awesome. Mate, thank you very much.
My pleasure. On.
So that was the Bollywood King, RJ Singh. Singh is king, and from another king, myself, the working man, Birchall. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next week.